the first graders from the wealthiest homes have a 32-point advantage over the first graders from the poorest homes. And by the way, first graders from poor homes in Baltimore are really poor. But by fifth grade, 4 years later, that initially modest gap between the rich and the poor has more than doubled. This achievement gap is a phenomenon that has been observed over and over again, and it provokes one of two responses. The first response is that disadvantaged kids simply don't have the same inherent ability to learn as children from more privileged backgrounds. They're not as smart. The second, slightly more optimistic conclusion is that in some way our schools are failing poor children. We simply aren't doing a good enough job of teaching them the skills they need. But here's where Alexander's study gets interesting, because it turns out that neither of those explanations ring true. The city of Baltimore didn't just give its kids the California Achievement Test at the end of every school year in June. It gave them the test in September, too, just after summer vacation ended. What Alexander realized is that the second set of test results allowed him to do a slightly different analysis. If he looked at the difference between the score a student got at the beginning of the school year in September and the score he or she got the following June, he could measure precisely how much that student learned over the school year. And if he looked at the difference between how a student scored in June and how they scored the following September, he could see how much the student learned over the course of the summer. In other words, he could figure out, at least in part, how much of the achievement gap is the result of things that happen during the school year, and how much it has to do with what happens during summer vacation. Let's start with the school year gains. That is, how many points students' test scores rise from the time they start classes in September to the time they stop in June. These results tell a completely different story from the one suggested by the full year results. The first set of test results made it look like lower-income kids were somehow failing in the classroom. But when you just look at the school year, you see that that isn't true. Over the course of 5 years of elementary school, poor kids actually outlearn the wealthiest kids 191 points to 186 points. They lag behind the middle-class kids by only a modest amount. And in fact, in 1 year, second grade, they learn more than anyone else. Now, let's see what happens if we just look at how reading scores change during summer vacation. Here again is a totally different story. In the summer after first grade, the wealthiest kids come back in September, and their reading scores have jumped more than 15 points. The poorest kids come back from the holidays, and their reading scores have dropped by almost 4 points. Poor kids may outlearn rich kids during the school year, but during the summer, they fall far behind. Now, suppose we total up all the summer learning gains from first grade to fifth grade. The reading scores of the poor kids over those 4 summers go up by 0.26 points. When it comes to reading skills, poor kids, in other words, learn nothing when school is not in session. The reading scores of the rich kids over the summer holidays, by contrast, go up by a whopping 52 points. Virtually all of the advantage that wealthy students have over poor students is the result of differences in the way privileged kids learn when they are not in school. What are we seeing here? One very real possibility is that these are the educational consequences of the differences in parenting styles that we talked about in the Chris Langan chapter.